Good morning, I'm Anthony Morneau. It's 6:45. The staff for Democratic congressional candidate Deborah Holland in New Mexico has unionized under an upstart National Guild for Election Campaign employees, announcing a new contract Monday that was negotiated through collective bargaining. The contract, secured by the Campaign Workers Guild, includes a minimum $15 an hour wage for part-time workers and a $3,000 minimum monthly salary for full-time staff, along with workplace guarantees that include procedures for reporting sexual misconduct, according to campaign staff and a union official. Additional terms of the contract were not disclosed. On the Tuesday Health Watch, physical fitness, diet, and mental stimulation all contribute to good brain health. But you also need water, and lots of it. Sam Baker talked about the importance of brain hydration with neurologist Brendan Kelly.
Water is important for a multitude of different functions in our bodies, lubricating our joints, maintaining our temperature, and it's also important for how our cells manage energy. The brain is one of the major users of energy in the body. If you think about it, we are thinking constantly, and so there's a lot of metabolic activity going on in the brain, and water is really critical to making sure that those biochemical reactions are taking place appropriately and are well regulated.
What happens to the brain if we don't get enough hydration or water? Would there be somehow a loss of cognitive function?
There have been several studies that have found that even mild levels of dehydration are associated with increased difficulties with our mental functions, some loss of mental clarity, difficulties with concentration. Some people may even manifest changes like feeling more down or depressed or having a quicker temper. We also recognize in many of our neurology patients that dehydration can be associated with an increased risk of having an episode of migraine.
So how much water should we be consuming?
Most estimates say that as we go through our normal daily activities, we lose about 80 ounces of water per day. That's from sweating, from water vapor that we exhale, from, you know, kind of the normal body processes. So to give a rough guide as far as how much water intake we should be replacing each day, it would be about 80 ounces. Now that can be included in liquids like water, or other liquids that we might drink. The food that we eat, that also contains some water. But that's roughly the, if you will, the hole that we're digging each day that we need to refill.
So when you say other liquids as well, tea, coffee, soda, fruit juices?
Tea or coffee contain water, so you are intaking some more fluids. But things like coffee and tea can also work as a weak diuretic, making us lose some water as we go to the bathroom. And so they're perhaps not as effective at replacing our hydration as water would be, but they are replacing some. Soda or juice may include other components, things like chemical additives or sugar or other things that we're taking in along with it. And so it might not be ideal to use soda and juice as the primary source of fluid intake, as we would be inadvertently taking in a lot more calories, perhaps, than we intended.
But I'm still thinking 80 ounces of water, that's a lot. Knowing this conversation was coming up, and I was looking at a bottle of water I had in front of me, and that's like about 16 ounces?
That's about right.
So that's like about 5 bottles of water you have to make up every day?
If you think about it from a practical standpoint, 80 ounces is about the hole that we dig each day, and yet we manage to fill it on average. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, the fact that we go through our days and the next day we wake up and are continuing that process speaks to the fact that we may be taking in more water through food and other sources than we are consciously aware of.
Just curious, is there any danger to brain health if you consume too much water?
In an extreme setting, that could be problematic. If a person's taking medications or has other underlying medical issues, excessive water intake could potentially cause some concerns or some issues. And for an otherwise healthy individual, our bodies are very well regulated at managing the amount of water that we need to retain and getting rid of the excess efficiently.
So we're clear, we're not talking about water as the miracle end all be all for brain health. This is part, what, maybe of an overall plan or approach for achieving or maintaining good brain health?
That's extremely well put. The best evidence to date is emerging to identify not a single lifestyle choice that we make, but rather a pattern of lifestyle choices that is associated with retaining our brain health. Certainly maintaining good hydration is important in that. Eating a healthy diet, getting regular physical exercise and mentally stimulating ourselves regularly. Those are all important to maintaining good cognitive health.
Dr. Kelly, thank you for being with me.
Well, thanks a lot. I really enjoyed it.